Welcome to Lighthouse Niagara. I'm Nathan Dagan, leader of the tech team here at Lighthouse. We hope that this message speaks to you powerfully.
I love that song that we sang at the end, the blessing, and with it, the repeated amen that went along with it. The blessing, as the Lord would desire to bless us, amen means let it be, so be it. Today, as we continue on in our series, this is part 7 of 8 parts, and we have gone through we finished 1 Thessalonians, and we are going to be hitting the second letter, or the second chapter of Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, and today the series title is The Almighty, but today it is about one with Him, and it's interesting. The word was amen, and I just at the last moment, I just thought, you know what, I got to throw in that amen, and so I plugged it in, and today I didn't know what songs they were singing or playing, and it's amen, so be it, let it be, let it be. The Lord is so good. The Lord is so good to us, and the Lord is faithful. He desires to do things not just in our lives, and we heard the testimonies this morning of what He's doing in our lives. And we're talking about prayers that go up that are almost instant, and we're instant at this time. And so He desires to do these things because He wants to bless us, and that we would say, yes, Lord, that there would be a blessing in my life. Let there be a blessing in my life. You might say, what could I do? What can I do? What can one person do? What can one man do? What can one woman do before the Lord? What can that person, what can you do with God? What can you do with Him? To be one with Him. We look at the Old Testament especially, and even the New Testament, we recognize Paul was called Saul. There was a change even of his name. And Saul has this meaning more of hey, I'm above there. I'm above. Whereas Paul, I met somebody today for the first time. His name is Paul. And Paul actually means small. Means small. Now, this guy is much taller than I am, but Paul became small, and God used him to be the author of half of the New Testament. And if we include Hebrews, they're not sure who wrote Hebrews. I love to think that Paul wrote Hebrews under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He would have written 14 out of the 27 letters and books in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, we have a man that stuttered, and he couldn't speak properly, and he stuttered, and he was arguing with God. God, I'm too flawed. I'm too faulted, and yet that same man was used by God, and he had killed somebody, and he had run. He grew up in the palace of Pharaoh, and all the royalty and whatever, as a Hebrew child taken out of the Nile, and he was brought into the house and the palace and the authority of Pharaoh. And yet as he connected with his own people, and there was a man that was killed as there was conflict, and then he ran. But there was a day that he met up with God face to face as he saw a burning bush that wasn't burning up. And he met God, and God said, hey, I want you to go back, and I want to use you that my children would be released, that the children of Israel would be released. And here's a man that struggled, and yet he led 2 to 3 million people out of slavery with God. We see this woman, Esther. As you read through Esther, again, you recognize that God allowed for her to be in a place of authority and to be in favor with the king. And she was used for the time that she was in, for such a time as this. I am here for such a time as this, that God would work through me. And there was a decree that went out that had all the Jews, all the Hebrew children that were in that realm of that king, the superpower, a superpower at that time, 120 different provinces. And here there was a decree that went out that all the Hebrews should be killed. And because of Esther, one person being obedient to God and being used by God was able to spare and save all the Hebrew children, all the Jews that were in that place, the Persian Empire. I just say, thank you, Lord, what one person can do. You might say, you examine yourself and you recognize, what can I do? It's not so much what you can do. And hey, there's a lot of, you look at the people on this planet, and they're doing things without God. In their own wisdom, their own strength, and there's great things accomplished. I just heard a piece of a documentary on Niagara Falls. And the intent of one of the rich, powerful men back in the late 1800s, was that this area would be a metropolis. And even back then, he was saying that Niagara Falls, that there would be in this area, this metropolis, 60 million people, because of the power that was available through the natural wonder of the falls. He's saying this is a place, and it just as they started to find electricity or this thing of electricity, the making of electricity, and wow, we are so close to the source, it can sustain millions. Now, I don't know if this man was a believer or not. Didn't say that he was. He might have been. But if it was without God, we have God. We have God, that we would do things together with him. One shepherd boy, a teenager coming against a man of war. And I've always used some of this building and this structure here, just so you know. David was, hey, my name is Dave. So this is me against the giant who had gone to the top of that sconce or that valance there. That's 9 feet, 9 feet, 2 inches or so, about the height of Goliath. And here's a teenager that is coming against this mighty warrior, a giant, in the name of the Lord. Just in the name of the Lord. His name is above all names. The heart of God is that he would use us. A few weeks back, I had asked, how many of you want to go from being a spectator to be a participant, to do something? And at this point, there's about 100, and I think 121 of you said, I want to do something. I want to be a participant, whatever it is. We have so many different things that is being done, whether it's within the church or outside of the church. And it just made my heart glad that there's this desire. One of the first things that we need to do is say, Lord, yeah, I want you to use me. I don't want to make any more excuses. I want you to use me. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, good actions, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. The things that we would do, we are his workmanship. And God has prepared something for us to do, every single one of you. You might be here even as an unbeliever or somebody that has strayed away or somebody that you say, oh man, I really messed up. How can God forgive me? How can God still use me? I want you to know this morning that God can use you. He forgives and he says, here, let me restore you. I want to put you in a place of being impactful for the sake of others. For the sake of others, so that you would touch other people's lives. These three examples that I gave, they were touching not just a life or two, they were touching entire groupings of people. Nations were impacted. And you say, can I be used that way? I'm always excited to think and know when we make a commitment to the Lord. In a bit, we're going to have a couple making a commitment, a recommitment to one another. I just say, thank you, Lord, for the commitment that we would make to you, that surrender that we would make to you, and that we wouldn't make an excuse. Because God says, hey, basically to Moses, I'm not buying that. I'm going to use you, stuttering or not. I'm going to use you. And it's oftentimes in our weakness. His strength is made perfect in our weaknesses. So you might say, I don't have a lot of capability. I don't have a lot of strength. His strength is made perfect in our weaknesses. In Colossians 1:28 says, him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. So we're reaching out to others, even the things that we may say to them, Lord, that they would be made perfect in Christ Jesus, that they would have life in Jesus Christ. And here Paul is saying, to this end I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. There's a working as a believer, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit desires to work not just in us, but to work through us to touch other people's lives. Lord, work through me. Today, I want to focus in on two main passages. Matthew 24, the first almost 14 verses, and then 2 Thessalonians 2. Those are the two main texts this morning. Before I get into that, just one last verse. And it ties in with today, where we are at today. And it says, and I oftentimes use this in a different vein, and it wasn't quite accurate. Let me read it. Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30. So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found no one. I always thought, there's a gap in the wall, and I'm standing in the gap against the enemy. That's not what this is saying. That passage is talking about there being somebody. Is there not somebody that cares for the rest of the nation that would stand in the gap because of the wrath that I'm going to pour out? Let there be just one person to stand because of the wrath, my wrath that I'm going to pour out on the nation. And already judgment had come to the northern tribes, the northern kingdom of Israel. There was two kingdoms that had split after Solomon and with Rehoboam, his son. And the northern kingdom had 19 kings in a row that did not serve God. Not one single king served God. And there was wickedness, and God brought judgment. And Ezekiel is during the time of the second kingdom that was left, the southern kingdom of Judah and Benjamin. And he's looking for one person. Is there nobody? And now here Ezekiel, he's sharing the word, or he's bringing the word, and he's saying God is looking for one person. One person that I should not destroy it, but I found no one. I just want to say, well, you know, that was 600 B.C. 600 B.C. This doesn't apply to us today. Let me say this. The Lord talks about how it will be in the last days, the conditions. And this is where I want to go into this right now, is the conditions that will be at the coming of the Lord. Because the wrath of God is going to be poured out. And God is saying to us, is there not one man or one woman that will be there to stand in the gap and there's a wall that the wrath of God would not be poured out? Not even Jesus or the angels know when that day is. Only the Father. The Father knows when the day of the Lord will begin. Listen carefully. And I want to say, I want this to be positive. I want you to be aware of the reality of where we're at, but I also want this to be positive in what God wants to do through you and I. What he wants to do through us. And we get distracted. We're doing all these other things. We have time for them. But when it comes oftentimes, and I'm in on this myself, so often it's like, man, didn't do much today. Or I didn't do what I could have done. I thank the Lord. May I say this again? I said it just recently. If you feel unctioned by the Holy Spirit, somebody pops into your mind, even when you're doing something else, and it pops into your mind a name, I want you to text or call that person. Just say, hey, how you doing? Are you okay? Because you came into my mind, and I just want to make sure that you're okay. And then allow the Holy Spirit to minister through you to encourage them. The conditions right now, first off, deception. It says in Matthew 24:3, now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Three questions. And he answers from the last one, when it comes to the sign of the end of the age. And he starts with the last one and he answers the other questions in the remainder of Matthew 24 and 25. And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. Deception. Deception. Even saying, hey, I'm of God. And there's a deceiving that will take place. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 says, now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Basically, Paul is saying the day of Christ has not come yet. The day of the Lord has not come yet. So let me give you a little bit of how it's going to be just before the Lord comes back. And he says the same thing as Jesus said, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. Falling away of what? It's the falling away of those within the church. It's where they are at, and there's going to be a falling away of some within the church, even within the church. I would say, God forbid, it would be anybody here this morning. A deception. A deception, a deceiving, and there's going to be a falling away first before the day of the Lord. I see that happening. Where people are falling away from the Lord. And the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. So the falling away comes before the man of sin, or the Antichrist, the son of perdition. He is lost before he is revealed. And this Antichrist who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? So there's going to be a sitting of the Antichrist in the Holy of Holies, defiling the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant is and where the presence of God is. And he's going to defile the Holy of Holies in this temple that has not been built yet. It hasn't been built yet. And there's going to be this abomination, the abomination of desolation that will take place that Jesus speaks of further on in Matthew chapter 24. There's going to be extreme conditions happening. Tell me if this isn't happening right now. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Now, some of you may have come out of a country that is, there's major upheaval. Right now, I just checked it out before the service. Right now, there are 41 wars going on. 41 wars right now globally. We just hear of a few of them. But those wars have to do with civil wars or wars within a country. I mentioned last week that there are 7,000 Christians that died in Nigeria alone this year. It's probably one of the worst places right now. And so 7,000, just this past week, I heard that 200 girls were kidnapped and taken away, and they're going to be obviously used in ways that are horrific. That should not be happening to a young girl or a teenager. And there was 200 of them taken. This is happening in Nigeria as well. 41 wars. You're going to hear of wars and rumors of wars. Terrorist insurgencies, ethnic violence, drug wars that are going on. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. This is before the day of the Lord. The end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. It goes on, it's talking about persecution, it's talking about betrayal, it's talking about false prophets rising up. It says, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake, for the name of Jesus. Because we're followers of Jesus, you're going to be hated. I don't know if you've ever had anybody hate on you because you're a believer or a Christian. They know you're a Christian, and suddenly there's a change of attitude. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. A betrayal. There will be many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. As I read earlier, they're apostles, and they are of the angel of light who transforms his ministers into ministers of righteousness, to deceive and to bring people off. This is why, man, I stand on the word of God. The majority of what I say is according to the word of God, is around the word of God, because I don't want to lead anybody astray. I'm not here to tickle ears. I'm not here to coddle you into this false sense of security that everything's okay. But your faith, and we'll see where it's at. It's our faith as we read through 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. So those many false prophets will rise up and deceive many, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. There's this thing of lawlessness, of iniquity, of wickedness and evil. So what can we do? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 6. It says, and now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. Now, in the New King James Version, I mentioned this recently, there's an uppercase H. And so a lot of people say, that must be what's restraining is God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, particularly the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is going to be taken away. But I'm just realizing this, it does make sense to have an uppercase there. Because we are the body of Christ. Now, if one man can do mighty things through God, can you imagine if we together as a church, and this is what excites me, when I have 120 people, and if you want to be on that list, feel free, grab one of those envelopes in front of you and put your name down on it. Just don't have to put anything else on. Just put your name on it and put it in one of those boxes at, on the end there before you head out of these doors from the sanctuary. And I will include you because I'm praying, Lord, let the anointing and let there be blessing, let there be power being flowing through these individuals that have said, I want to be a participant. I don't want to be a spectator on the sidelines. I want to be used by God. I want to be used by God in whatever way he can use me, I'm available. Can you imagine if the body of Christ comes together, as we come together, what we can do here in Niagara Falls? What we can do in our region, what we can do for those that are coming to our city. We don't even have to go to third world countries because we have third world countries. We have different people. We have people here this morning from Australia. Yeah, all the way from Australia coming to Niagara Falls. It's not like you say, hey, I might go to Toronto, but man, I'm coming. I want to see the falls. I want to see that natural outpouring. I'll tell you what we can do with the supernatural outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon not just one person or two, but as many as we would come together. Let us come together that the word or the work of the Lord through us can be done together. One with him. Amen. Let it be. Because we can restrain the mystery of lawlessness. The condition of that which is without law, a violation of the law, a mystery in that it's covered up, it's underneath. It's like, well, how is this all happening? Some of the things that we think are truth and real is like there's a pointing to, hey, this is who's causing issue and whatever in these days, and there's something else underlying that is way more insidious. This mystery of lawlessness, and we see this mystery of lawlessness, and who is going to stand up to restrain? The definition of restraining is kateko, is the Greek word. It says to hold back, to detain, to restrain, to hinder the course of progress, that which hinders, and even by definition, it's including here, the Antichrist from making his appearance. As long as we're here, the Antichrist cannot show up. You say, Pastor, you might ask me, hey, Pastor, is the Antichrist already alive on this planet? I believe absolutely yes. He's alive, and he's in the background waiting to come. And what's restraining is the church, the body of Christ. The body of Christ is the church. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work, and only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. It's not the Holy Spirit. The Father or Jesus Christ isn't going to be taken away. It's going to be the body of Christ that is taken away before the wrath of God is poured out. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, your actions, your deeds, your speech, the things that you would do, even your attitudes, all these different things, your motivations, your intentions, these works. Let them be done, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. There's a coming, I'll tell you right now, through just being a light in who you are when you go to work. This is who I am as a believer. It's a light wherever you go, and a light dispels darkness. A light may also expose the things of, man, I'm not in the right place, especially for others. I'm not in the right place. That's why there's sometimes a big agitation when you come around a person that is not in the place that they should be, and the light is shone upon them, and they see where they're at, and they're agitated. But that they would see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. It's, man, I want to have what Dave has. I want to have what you have in Jesus Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, not of what you can do. You can't save yourself. So not of your works, lest anyone should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which were prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. This work will be done, especially on this side of heaven, before we are caught up to be with the Lord. So at this point, Lord, am I doing what you would have me do as a believer? I don't know when you got saved, but I'll tell you right now, when the disciples were called by the Lord Jesus to follow him, and they started to follow him. It was only within a few months that he sent them out by twos to go ahead of them. And they were healing the sick, and there was miracles being done, and there was a casting out of demons and all that. They were so excited about going out and then coming back. You can read of it, I believe it's in Matthew chapter 10. They had authority as a 2 or 3 month believer, and some of us, we've been saved for our entire life, and the Lord is saying, I want to use you. And if it's for now, right now, that you would say, Lord, I'm gonna be used by you. I give myself completely to you. Use me to impact others. Hallelujah. Because the Lord is coming back until he is taken out of the way. That work will continue right until the day of the Lord, when he comes back to catch up the saints. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord, and we're still alive, will by no means precede those who are asleep. This is 1 Thessalonians. We just talked about this a few weeks back. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Those that have already died, their bodies will meet up with their soul and their spirit, which is with the Lord, and they will be caught up first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, for thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another, all because we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Even so, God will bring with him those who sleep in Christ. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 14. Do you believe that Jesus died for you and he rose again? If you believe, that's where my faith is in, you will be caught up to be with the Lord. In the meantime, let there be a work done through me, through us. This will happen in a twinkling of an eye. Paul writes of this in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. He says, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We're not all going to die, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible, this thing that corruption and corruptible is like rust on metal. It starts to eat away at it. Has put on incorruption, no more. No more rusting, no more corruptibility. And this mortal has put on immortality. That which would die is now going to live forever. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? There's no way that Satan can overcome the believer that has his faith in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding, overflowing in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That's what I'm saying. Don't say, oh, I can't do this or that, because look at it, like, who am I? The Lord desires to work through you. This great tribulation is not upon us. You might say, man, things are pretty bad, but I'll tell you, it's going to get much worse, or it'll be infinitely worse during the tribulation, the great tribulation, because the Lord is going to pour out his wrath on those that have rejected Jesus Christ. Now, you might say, can you be saved during that great tribulation period? Yes. It'll cost you your life. I mentioned this last week, and the last number of weeks, I've mentioned it numerous times. You can still get saved if you miss the rapture, the catching up of the saints. You can still get saved, but it will cost you your life. Because they're going to be coming after every single person that will turn to Christ, that turns to Christ afterwards. And we read of that, of the martyrs. Their cries came up to the Lord. How much more? How many more have to die? It was until the last one. Until the last one. So the thing is, Lord, let me be ready and right before you, before your return, so I can be caught up to be with the Lord. I had somebody tell me, you know what? The Lord has told me that I would be alive during the great tribulation to lead others to Christ. I said, I don't buy that. Now, this individual at a young age passed away. And my big thing was he ready? I believe that he was ready. He was at that point on the streets. And I found out that one of the things that he talked about, even while he was on the streets, was the Lord. He would talk about the Lord often, even in the some of the addictions that he had. Lord, let me know regarding this individual. It was like, Lord, where is this man? And the scripture came to me, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Hebrews 13, I think it's verse 5. And the Lord showed me he was waiting for one thing. He was just waiting for one thing for this man before he would take him home. His body was ravished. He was a big, strong man, and he was probably half his weight when he died. He was waiting for one thing. This is what the Lord revealed to me. For him to call out to the Lord. And the moment he did, boom, he took him. Lord, I need you. Forgive me. I need you in my life. He had given his life to the Lord. He had been baptized, and the best time of his life, 2-3 years, was when he was serving the Lord, and then he walked away from the Lord, and he lost everything. As we cry out to the Lord, Lord, I need you in my life. I commit to you. I'm making a commitment to you, Lord. Let there be a work done. Watch there and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Luke 21, verse 36. Back to 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 8. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The lawless one, the Antichrist. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, even more deception. So there's going to be a turning to him, even in the deceptions, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, because they're saying, we're not going to serve God. We're not going to serve Jesus. Absolutely not. And so the Lord God gives them over to the deception, the delusion, brings strong delusion that they should believe the lie of this Antichrist. I'm going to trust in him, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. They preferred their sin. This is where I've been saying, listen, if there is a conviction of your Holy Spirit about the practice of sin in your life, you need to heed the conviction of the Holy Spirit. I don't want you to be left behind. Rather, I would want you to stand fast in your faith and allow the Lord to do a powerful work through you. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, as Paul continues on in verse 13, second chapter Thessalonians 2. Brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and belief in the truth of Jesus Christ. And there was powerful changes that took place in your life, to which he called you by our gospel, through the preaching of the gospel, Jesus Christ and him crucified. And you responded, and you received forgiveness because of what he did for you on the cross, even as you confessed your sins. For the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is what I would say to you, let Jesus be your Lord. Submit, surrender to him. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or epistle. The greatest tradition that even the unbeliever knows, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for salvation. As Paul writes, he says, I was determined that you would not know anything among you. I was determined you would know nothing else except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit of and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. That comes through the message, even just the message of the cross, the power and the wisdom of God through the message of the cross. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The things that the Lord wants to do through you in these last days is powerful. Can we stand together? It says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence or your faith, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. We'd have endurance doing the will of the Lord, and we receive the promise. What promise? For yet a little while, and he who's coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back from this, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, to being lost, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. And I love how the next chapter begins. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony, a good report from God. Because they operated by faith. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. I believe the things that we don't see yet, because of our faith in Jesus Christ and what he's done for us, and you committing to the Lord. You commit to the Lord. Be married to the Lord Jesus Christ, and allow what God has for you to be accomplished as an impact to those that may not know him. And the things that have not been seen yet, that they would be made seen. I want to see not just a few hundred get saved before the Lord comes. I don't even want to see a few thousand get saved. I don't even want to see 10,000 get saved. I want to see literal millions get saved before the Lord comes back, even here. Even here. Lord says, I'm looking for just one man, one woman to stand in the gap. And there has been 120 plus that have said, we're going to stand in the gap. Lord, to hold off your wrath. Don't come back yet, Lord. Don't come back yet, because there's people that I care about that I want to see saved. Hallelujah, that it would be. Hallelujah. I want to pray this. Lord, I just pray in Jesus' name. You, our Lord Jesus Christ, and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation. Everlasting. You desire for us to have everlasting peace. Lord, you desire, you are calling us and you are asking us to come near, because I have something I want to speak into your life. And there's a entreating of us, Lord, as you would call us. Dave, I want to do a work through you. Lord, I'm saying let it be done through each and every one of us. Lord, even as you would exhort us, as you would admonish us, as you would encourage us, let there be a comfort and a solace in our heart as we know, Lord, we are doing what is right before you. We are accomplishing your will. Let your good and perfect will, your acceptable will be done in our lives because of your grace upon us. Lord, I pray that you would comfort every heart and establish each and every one in every good word and work according to this year's scripture in 2 Thessalonians 2:16, as this chapter comes to an end. Lord, let this be. Let it be. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone says, amen, amen.
Thanks so much for joining us. We hope that message spoke to you powerfully. Check us out online at lighthouseniagara.com, where we live stream every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. God bless.